Even 3,000 years ago, people are thinking about, what's my legacy? What kind of an impact am I leaving on this world?
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Welcome to Proofread. I'm Casey.
I'm Tyler.
And we're here to help you figure out what to read and what to skip.
That's right.
So we've got a classic for you today.
And this is a proper classic,
right?
If we
classic.
Think of inspired by Greece or Rome as classical definition.
The most classic.
This is classical.
The Odyssey by Homer, a translation by Emily Wilson. First complete translation by a woman, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Sure will.
But another reason why this might be on your radar is because there's a Christopher Nolan movie coming out this summer.
Mm.
Okay? He's one of my faves.
Okay.
Inception. You're a big fan, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
I will say that my life is before The Dark Knight and after The Dark Knight.
So we're Christopher Nolan fans. I'm guessing this will be good. Okay. So I'm going to tell you as we start talking about the Odyssey.
Yes.
Because this is about the book, not the movie.
Right.
But you might be wondering if you should read this. The Odyssey is going to have a great cast. It's going to have Matt Damon is going to be.
This is the time of the movie now
Odysseus.
Or the book? Because Matt Damon's not in the book.
I'm leading you into the classic by telling you who the modern people are going to portray.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's going to have Anne Hathaway is going to be the wife of Odysseus.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Man.
She's Penelope.
I didn't expect that.
You didn't expect it. And then his son, Telemachus, is Tom Holland.
That's great. That's
a
great cast.
Athena, the big goddess in this, Zendaya.
Oh, fun.
Okay, so
yeah.
So that's the movie. So that's why you might be thinking about the Odyssey, because otherwise, I really don't know why you would be thinking about the Odyssey. But it
What's
was
going
written,
on with the Odyssey these days?
It was written in, you know, almost, what, 3,000 years ago?
Right.
This was like 600 BC, 700 BC. This comes from an oral tradition. But you should know that it was specifically written down, and it is like a higher style than people would have just spoken, okay? It's a poem. It's about Odysseus coming home from the war. It takes 10 years. All these wild things happen. His wife, Penelope, is there waiting for him, and there are many suitors who are, like, ready to just swarm in and get all of his stuff. This son, kind of ineffectual, kind of a loser at first.
Ooh,
Telemachus.
That's a rough Telemachus take.
Doesn't really know, you know, but then
I thought he was just kind of coming into his own.
He's like,
wait a minute, I got to be the man of the house around here.
He eventually comes into his own with the help of Athena, who you can picture as Zendaya.
Right.
Because she's the big goddess in this.
Or you could not, because I read this and did not picture her.
Okay, you don't have to. Sorry, forget about that. But do you want to talk about read or skip? Do you want to say anything more about summarizing the story?
It's kind of hard because it's like this is such a lofty, like
so much,
such an ancient story. Of course,
happens.
You've heard of it. We haven't. Maybe you read it a long time ago. And part of the question for us is like, hey, is this something we should read?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I would say let's contextualize the read or skip here by we're not saying like, is this a good one of the first stories ever told by humans? Like, good, right?
It has a place in history because it's like this first thing we've ever read.
Sure.
In the Western tradition.
So then the question for now is like, is this a book you should pick up and read?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Read
Let's
or
do
skip.
It like that. Read or skip.
Okay. One, two, three, skip.
Read. Yes.
All right. Now, I am hesitant about this because I really want to say read.
Yeah.
Because I think what is special about this is the translation by Emily Wilson.
Yep.
And I want to say, read the introduction. I loved the introduction. I found it fascinating. And the only reason why I think you should read the Odyssey is just like, if you want to, maybe so you can say you could or something like that. But I read it and I didn't love reading it. I loved reading more about how this woman made some new decisions about how she was going to translate it. And I think the introduction is worth reading. And I would say read the introduction.
So there's so much I want to say.
Skip the poem.
The cool thing about this like translation, we can talk about this, but like that opening line, the opening line of her translation is, tell me about a complicated man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a fun way to start it.
Yeah. Did you notice what other people have translated it to be?
No.
They opened it. It's so much more wordy where they're like, every other translation has been, sing to me of the man muse, the man of twists and turns. That was even in 1996. Someone was still keeping this. Tell me, O muse, of that ingenious hero who traveled far and wide after he had sacked the famous town of Troy.
So for hers, for that same couple, it would be, tell me about a complicated man, Muse, tell me how he wandered and was lost when he had wrecked the holy town of Troy, and where he went and whom he met, the pain he suffered on the sea, and how he worked to save his life and bring his men back home.
Mm-hmm. She makes it so clear. It's so modern. And she also, what I love about it, well, I said skip. So
yeah.
I'm now defending why you should read the introduction and skip the play or the poem. She's deconstructing the gendered artifice of all this stuff that even modern translators kept in. But she takes away some of the stuff that was just kept in, this artifice. And she makes it iambic pentameter, which isn't what this originally was, but just to give it like a little bit of poemness.
Yeah.
Because we need to remember this wasn't them just talking in their normal language. It was a little bit elevated vocabulary and things like that. However, the other thing that I realized when I read the introduction, which is what I think people should read, is that some of the repetitiveness, which I find so boring, the epithets, yeah. that's part of the oral
yeah.
culture because
you've got to give place
you
markers.
Have to remember yeah. everything. And once I did have much more appreciation for reading the parts I would have thought were boring after she explained why she did this.
These are the reasons.
How she took as much of this out as she could, kept this because she's making a point by keeping this.
Yeah.
But she says, I'm going to read two things. This is why I think you might want to read the Odyssey. Only this translation. I wouldn't read anything ever else from now on because I think she's incredibly talented. She says, the Odyssey could be used as a way of thinking about what might be old and worn out in the Western cultural tradition.
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be. Certainly some things in here we don't see very much anymore. Mm-hmm. Certainly some things in here we do.
And it is true what you said. Our stories are better now to us. But here's kind of a longer quote where she says, this is, I think, what's valuable about maybe reading it, even though I did find it a little boring. So yeah. that's why I said skip.
Yeah.
Odysseus is a migrant, but he's also a political and military leader, a strategist, a poet, a loving husband and father, an adulterer, a homeless person, an athlete, a disabled cripple, a soldier with a traumatic past, a pirate, thief, and liar, a fugitive, a colonial invader, a homeowner, a sailor, a construction worker, a mass murderer, and a war hero. Immersing ourselves in this story and considering how these categories can exist in the same imaginative space may help us consider both the origins of Western literature and our infinitely complex contemporary world. It's not saying anything modern.
Yeah.
But all of these things are happening then, and we can think about it now, and we can look back, and we can see this guy is pretty interesting. We're still talking about him. We're yeah. making a movie about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a great movie.
I'm sure it will be.
So I was hesitant to do read or skip.
But
I'm
like,
glad you said read and I said skip.
Yeah.
That's the point we want to make.
It does just come down to like entertainment.
But yeah. why do you think read?
Okay. So for me, I probably on the one hand is like if you haven't read this, you could. It feels a little bit like homework.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. It feels a little bit like homework. Like, and the reason for that is we are not initiated into this kind of a thing.
Yeah. It was boring to me. And I'm an English major who loved the introduction, who is going to tell people to read the introduction. And I was just like, okay, come on, I get the idea. Because it's very different from the stories that we read now. It's not complex in the same way that we would want it to be. And it's not making any points that we want it to be making.
Yeah.
And also, and I will sound unsophisticated when I say this, but this is the truth. They just do all this weird stuff that we don't do anymore, that
right.
we don't care about.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wants to say, like, maybe you could read it like it's a magical realism, which seems like an absurd thing to say. But I guess for me, the reason to read this is something along the lines of, in doing so, you will get exposed to a, like, different way of storytelling mm-hmm. that I'm going to be honest – is less engaging.
Agree.
Like, it's less engaging. It's less interesting. Our minds aren't formed around stories told in this way. Like, this translation is in, like, verse. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know, the way it reads, it's like you're reading this long poem.
Mm-hmm.
But any time that I have invested myself in trying to say, hey, let me wrestle with this for a little while, it's worthwhile to me. It's not a page turner.
It isn't
anything.
Even like when you read Shakespeare and you're like, well, it's worth it to maybe get into the Shakespeare.
Which I would say for me it's on that line.
Oh, you think it's on
I
that
do.
Line?
I do.
Okay, okay.
Even though,
I don't.
Like, I don't
I think,
think
it's more boring than Shakespeare.
Yeah, no, it is. Okay, that's true, right? But in the same way of, like, you don't casually read a Shakespeare play like, oh, man, what's going to happen, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're reading that and you're putting your, like, thinking
you're
cap on to say, like, okay.
To get to the meaning.
Let me get this, right? For me, it was part of the fun was kind of thinking about where are the morals in this? What mm-hmm. are the driving motivations? What's happening? What is this story suggesting about how humans are and how they work? Mm-hmm. And it's complicated by the fact that there's this whole mythology and all of these god characters that play different things. And that to me is also a little bit fascinating is to say, huh, what would it be like to think that there are gods showing up at any time disguised mm-hmm. and giving you power, right?
Yeah.
Or cursing you. And so there's a sense of if I put my thinking cap on and I say, ooh, what can I kind of like dredge out and like get out of this text? There's a lot. That doesn't excuse that this is work. It's not like I'm like, oh, man, what's going to happen next? I would bet money that the film is going to be a much more enjoyable experience
I think so too.
Than reading this text.
Yeah.
Why I like this is going along, I kept going like, oh, that's interesting,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, oh, that's interesting the way that things are being rewarded or not. There are some lines that have like little tidbits of wisdom, and it's the kind of thing that you're like, oh, man, I should grab this, put it on a bumper sticker, and write Homer underneath it, you know?
I can see what you're saying. And as I was weighing read, skip, for me, it was just really only the English major in me that was
yes,
like wanting to,
that is true.
To tell people to read
if
this.
If you live on a diet of like romance novels and Brandon Sanderson and you're like, I want to get something like more interesting, have like a headier read, I don't think this is the
it's
one.
It's not interesting.
But if you're kind of sitting there going like, I want a sense of culture. I mm-hmm. want a sense of like kind of the stories that we tell ourselves. There is something about reading a really ancient
yeah.
story.
I kept the thing that is interesting to me is that it's like it's so old. And even though so much of it is so foreign and I think so many different things than they do, there's still this pretty interesting story.
Here's the other thing I want to say is like, because it's so old, you see echoes from this story in a lot of other
oh,
stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know this is like a really lame way to do this, but have you watched Seinfeld?
Yes.
If you didn't watch Seinfeld, you don't understand a lot of like later sitcoms.
Right.
Because it is
exactly.
building on that in certain ways. Yeah, you can tell yeah. a younger person right now like, oh, go watch Seinfeld. And they watch it and they're like, this isn't that interesting. It's kind of slow. There's like a writing thing. Some of them will really appreciate it, right?
It's but others are like the first of a new kind of humor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then like I loved the show 30 Rock. Like mm-hmm. when my wife and I were first married, we watched that show every Thursday, you know?
Me too.
And then Seinfeld came out on Netflix a couple years ago and I was like, oh, I'm going to do my duty and watch some of these episodes, you know? And I'd seen some of them on syndication when I was younger. I remember everyone watching the finale at the end, you know? But when I watched that Seinfeld back after, you know, having this great love of 30 Rock, I was like, oh my gosh. 30 Rock is ripping off Seinfeld all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't say ripping off. They would say allusions or
yeah.
they're building on, right?
And it's funnier and it has more jokes and the jokes come faster
exactly,
and it's better. That's,
exactly.
that's like everything now.
But
like this is
Seinfeld
like,
walked so 30 Rock could run, right?
It feels so slow, but you're
but
like.
You see this here. And I just tried to, sorry, I'm like overdoing it here. But I tried to watch the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my son, Gus. And as we watched it, I was like, he's not going to like it. There's not enough going on. And guess what? He didn't. There wasn't enough
right.
going on. But then we watched one of these like new Ninja Turtle mm-hmm. movies and he was like, Dad, let's watch the whole
thing.
I know. And so it is this sense of it's hard for us to value and appreciate
exactly.
something like this because our stories are better.
Our stories are better. But that's the only thing that makes me want to hark back to it is being caring about old things.
What I liked about this is reading through this and getting to a space that was like a sentence like this. This is Penelope talking to Odysseus when he comes back and he's disguised as a beggar. And she's talking to him about why she's being kind. And she says, human beings have short lives. If we are cruel, everyone will curse us during our life and mock us when we die. The names of those who act with nobleness are brought by travelers across the world, and many people speak about their goodness.
Mm.
And there's this sense of like being good so that you can be remembered. Your story is scattered across the seas for your goodness, your nobleness. And I was like, oh, that's such a lovely thought here. We could critique this and be like, you're only being good, so people say good things about you, right? But there's this gnomon of like this ancient thought of the way that we're remembered. And
mm-hmm.
the way that we're upheld, and this ideal of honor and reputation, and that being a way to kind of think about how you're living your life of what is this going to say about me and about my family when they tell my story, what are they going to say?
And guess what? We're still reading it.
Even 3,000 years ago, people are thinking about mm-hmm. what's my legacy? What kind of an impact am I leaving on this world? Maybe they're thinking about it too much. Or we could critique that
mm-hmm.
and stuff. Me reading that and coming on that little nugget, I was like, oh, Like, that's sweet. Content warning, there's some stuff in here that has been around since the beginning of time. So
nothing graphic. Yeah. I mean, the violence is a little bit graphic.
Yeah, actually, you that's know. True.
Brains being spilled.
Yeah, lots of brains
talk get about that
smashed.
But it's not that graphic.
Right.
So what shelf would you put this on?
I would put this on a, wait for it, classics. This is not a quick read. It is a classic read. Do your homework when you want to feel cultured.
Yeah, and you're not going to read it and think, oh my gosh, this is such a treat. Yeah. I should have read The Odyssey years ago because it's not a treat.
What was your shelf?
It's just kind of fun. My shelf, it's an English major shelf that I don't know if I loved so much about the introduction was because it's very niche for my interests. But she is a skillful, interesting, bright person. The way she talks about the Odyssey makes you want to read it.
But if you have a book club coming up and you guys are feeling robust and you want to read this together and go see the film when it comes out, I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Tyler says do it. I say don't.
All right. Well, Homer, translated by Emily Wilson.
You've been proofread.
I think that you might enjoy this more if you read it while listening to it. Like, if I was to start over and do this again, I'd look to see if there's an audio version.
For sure.
And follow along, and that might give you the richness of it, and you kind of follow along.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson, with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.